KFNX News Talk Radio 1100, it's Chatterbox, where you'll find the latest news, interviews, and updates about the gaming world. The views and opinions expressed are those of the host, the guests, and callers only, and not necessarily those of KFNX News Talk Radio 1100. And now, here's your hosts for Chatterbox.
Good evening, everybody. This is the Chatterbox Video Game Radio Show. My name is Alon.
And my name's Aura.
And my name is Rich.
I guess it's not necessarily the evening for everyone, because this is all time-shifted for the podcasters.
But, we'll make it evening.
It's certainly evening for us. In fact, it's 9 p.m. in the evening. Hopefully it's 8 p.m. if you're on the West Coast and 11 on the East.
It's 9 p.m. It's night. It's not evening. Even by any standard, 9 p.m.
To me, evening continues until it's morning again.
Oh,
yeah.
So night doesn't exist for you.
No, there's okay. Really three parts of the day. Look, there's morning, afternoon, and evening.
If we're going to get into ridiculous semantic arguments, at least let's have it on topic, guys.
Okay. Vidigames.
Vidigames. Why did I even say that? All right, so we didn't have a show last week. That was kind of a good break. I liked relaxing a little bit.
Once in a while.
Now, what's interesting is that next week we may or may not have a show. And it was explained to me earlier today that if some team... Norm, let me know if I get this right. The Wildcats of the University of Arizona basketball?
That's correct.
Okay. If they win on Monday of next week, and I'm sure our listeners won't even know how to find out if they did.
Then we lose, right?
Then we win by not having to be in the radio station the next day. If they win, we win because we get the day off. If they lose... They still play basketball the next day, no matter what. Whether they win or lose, they're still going to play next Tuesday, but at a different time slot. So if they lose, we are on. If they win, we are off.
And, okay. And there could be a good chance that they might lose because they're in the first round. They're meeting the Wisconsin Badgers.
You're saying there could be a good chance that they could lose.
That's correct.
That's a lot of variability, Norm.
Well, as I say, I used to come from Wisconsin, so I kind of know the Badgers team.
But not much of a statistician, I'm guessing.
No.
Okay.
I like how every year there's always something where it's if it's hockey or the basketball like this, it's like if this team wins, then we have a show, and like you always track it.
Well, see, to normal people that's understood, but to us, since we don't follow sports, it's all very foreign, right? There's this whole bracketing system, and since we can't tell the future. It's not like television where we know a show is going to air versus not air.
And clearly all sports trumps everything else. Apparently.
Yeah, it does around here. So, feel free to check in next week and you'll find out if we're on the air by listening and whether or not you hear really bad, unintelligent sports.
Well, if you're up around midnight on Monday night, you'll know.
Oh, is that when it's midnight?
That the game starts at 10 o'clock, tip-off is at 10 o'clock in the evening.
How does that make sense at all?
In Arizona?
Them in Maui.
Oh, they're playing in Hawaii.
In Hawaii. Oh.
All right, so for any of our listeners in Hawaii, if you would really like to hear us or not hear us next week, you know what to do.
I have a question. Could anyone hear that other half of the conversation?
Yeah. Norm was on the air, right?
Yeah, it was.
Oh, awesome. Okay.
I can tell because he's really quiet if he doesn't go on the air, and then he's full strength if he's on the air.
I like that.
So not everybody knows is that sometimes Norm will talk to us and nobody else hears it, and so that would be why it's confusing to Josh.
Only the most advanced radio station technology here.
Yeah. All right. So let's talk about the video games that you wanted to talk about. You've got a bunch of papers in front of you. The big thing lately, though, is Modern Warfare 2, and I would love to avoid it simply for the fact that everyone else is not.
Never heard of it.
I really don't want to avoid it, and it's really independent of what anyone else thinks.
Yeah, you had thought about this, and you wanted to talk a little bit about it, but there's some stuff that I wanted to talk about as well, and it's probably the same topic, the same thing that everybody's talking about. So I don't care that they put in this horrible graphic content stuff, and I guess I'll preface this with a little bit of explanation to our listeners who might be living under rocks.
I heard you shoot people.
Call of Duty Modern Warfare 2 was released last week. I think it was on Tuesday, the day that we did not have a show, which was good because you got to continue playing it.
Yes, and I think they sold a billion copies.
Something like a lot.
Yeah.
Like whatever a lot signifies.
4 million?
It's like 7 million, actually.
Which, if I could interject, okay, Modern Warfare, okay, this is the variation on the game series that Activision did not want to publish.
Exactly.
Because they didn't think it would be successful enough, that they thought it would be too risky, too much. I don't know why. It's too confusing.
I never heard that.
Yes, no, it's what we've been making 80 World War II games. What? Change one thing about it? Modern Warfare? Oh, no, that's too much. Settle down now, you crazy developers. We know what sells.
They wanted to sell more World War II stuff?
No, it was when Infinity Ward was making Call of Duty 2. They actually had already started making the Modern Warfare game. They said they wanted Call of Duty 2 to be the Modern Warfare, and Activision said, no, don't do that. Make another World War II game. So Call of Duty 2 is World War II, and then Call of Duty 3 was also that way from Treyarch.
Well,
and then Infinity Ward was like, no, we're doing Modern Warfare now for Call of Duty 4.
It's been well documented that Infinity Ward really had to twist the arm of Activision corporate, as it were,
and lo and behold,
to get the permission to do that.
Like, the most successful game.
And so when they gave it back to another company, the World at War, was that World War II or was that Vietnam or something
else?
It was
World War II, but the next Call of Duty, whatever it is, World at War II or whatever they call it, I think is going to be Vietnam.
Okay.
But
it's strange how many times they return to World War II.
It is.
Anyway, and I was just listening to a fantastic podcast, by the way. There's so few good podcasts out there, but The Stuff You Should Know with Josh and Chuck from the How Stuff Works, whatever. Did any of you guys listen to this?
No idea what you're talking about.
You should.
You might as well be mentioning sports scores.
So I just listened to one. It was like, what are Japanese stragglers? Apparently in World War II, there's lots of islands, right, you know, between Hawaii and the U.S. and Japan. And so various islands were sort of flooded with these with Japanese military, and they wanted to hold these islands.
Someone's clicking is very loud.
Listen to this. You're going to love the story,
I'm sorry.
Guys. So anyway, there's Japanese people on these islands, and they're trying to hold them so that the Americans don't get them and then, you know, be in a good position to hurt Japan. And the problem is, back then, it wasn't easy to transmit information. So there's all these guys on the island who didn't know the war ended, and they would just continue defending islands for years and years. There was one, like, Rambo-style guy who just stayed there for decades. Like, almost 30 years he was on this island until he was convinced to stop. And he made, like, some guy came out to be like, dude, it's really the end of the war. And he said, I was told not to stop defending this place until my commander tells me to stop. And so the guy actually went back to Japan. The other guy, right, went back to Japan, got the old commander, brought him out. This is 29 years after the war was over. And he's like, all right, you're done.
That is crazy.
Yeah, and the guy came back to Japan as a big war hero, even though he'd been killing Filipinos for
that's
years.
That's dedication. That's real dedication.
Yeah.
That is crazy.
Yeah, so that's a shout out to the How Stuff Works Stuff You Should Know podcast. They have a bunch of podcasts. Anyway, so getting back to video games. Early enough in the game, what stage is it? Stage 2 or stage 3 or something?
It's I think, late in Act 1, but I can't remember.
It's early enough in the game that anybody who plays the game is probably going to come across it, right?
Yeah.
Right, and I'm sure that was very intentional. They didn't put it at the end of the game or something.
It's the plot point that needs to happen early.
Well, of course, they could have written it in a different way if they had reason to put it at the end.
Nope.
Anyway, point is, there's this what they consider a very horrific or graphic scene. Now, I don't think it's actually more graphic. Like, nothing appears on the screen that's different than other things. It's more thematic. And that is that you play a double agent. So are you actually American pretending to be Russian?
You're an American pretending to be a Russian terrorist.
Okay, so you're working with Russian terrorists, and you go into a Russian airport, and your job is to hang out with them while they kill, just mow down civilian after civilian after civilian.
And it's pretty graphic. I mean, there's tons of people. People are running away from you.
Oh, yeah. Because like, you're dragging the hurt bodies, and you go and shoot them as they're dragging them along. It's fantastic.
I mean, it's a massacre.
So here's what's funny about it, though. At least in its initial release, I guess they're changing this in Russia. The scene's going to be taken out completely. But for the American audiences and presumably for others, it tells you, hey, this is going to be graphic. Do you want to play it? And you say yes. And you're all like, are you sure you want to play it? And you're all like, yeah. And like, really, really sure? And yeah, okay, let me play it. And then at any point, you can just skip it. Just skip, kind of like the new Super Mario Brothers. You want to say it play for you? Cool. Or you could just skip, totally. So you don't have to play that level.
But not because it's too hard, because they're very sensitive to perhaps your sensitivity to violence.
Fine. Okay, if you want to be a pansy, you can just skip past it. And what's funny to me is that I was talking to – I went over to your guys' place. Josh and Rich now live together.
Indeed.
In holy matrimony.
Very happy.
And so – I go over to your place on Tuesday after work, and I was like, hey, I want to see this game. You show me this portion of the game, and Josh is like, oh, I skipped by it. I was like, what? You skipped by it? I was like, oh, I didn't want to see it. It's too crowded. you know, people hurting, and there's like the civilians.
Did you just say too crowded?
Yeah, that's not accurate.
I didn't want to see this stuff. It was too much for me. That's not stuff I want to see. You said
Josh wears pink shirts,
and I thought to myself, I like the pink as well. It's the new black, but that doesn't mean he has to be a total pansy. So I don't know what part about it made you think, oh, I can't play this, because you're just killing people, different people, and it's in a video game. But you thought to yourself, I'm too sensitive for this.
It's not that I'm – well, I don't like the fact that you're mowing down civilians. They don't fight back. I assume by now everyone's seen –
but what do you do in Prototype?
In Prototype? Well, here's the difference. In Prototype, it's third person. You're not up up close to them. They don't have special moves, really. You just kind of knock them over, and they ragdoll, and they fly all over the place.
Sounds exactly the same as Modern Warfare 2.
In Modern Warfare 2, you shoot them, and they lie down, and they clutch body parts, and they're dragging away their loved ones, and they're running in horror, and it's different in how the game is. And other people actually have noted this as well.
Yeah, it seems like they're more – the civilians, that is, more cognizant of, like, what is happening to them in general, right? Like, if you –
well,
if
let's
you
remember, they're not cognizant of anything. Well, it's simply the artists in the game trying to show
us
that expression.
Of course. We don't think they're actually sentient. But my point is, in something like Grand Theft Auto, right, that was like the first big thing. Like, oh, you could senselessly beat up, you know – people on the street for no reason, and you know that was the big controversy about that.
And so because they just run away screaming, it's okay. But if they were to try and grab their friend and save them, and then you kill them,
it actually seems like it's categorically different, because in Grand Theft Auto you can very readily ascertain, like, oh, okay, you know, this is, you know, we've got these pedestrians and they have this pedestrian behavior and they all essentially, you know, have the same type of behavior, and they're basically like flocking, you know? So they become like, in behaviorally, they're almost like ants, right? But the way that the civilians are depicted in this scenario in Modern Warfare 2, it's so much more precise in the way that they react and emote and express what's happening that, like, yeah, it's like...
Yeah, basically...
I don't want to do this.
In GTA, I feel like Godzilla, but in Modern Warfare 2, I feel like a serial killer. It's a totally different feeling.
Yeah, but you watch movies all the time, and you watch movies in which good people are getting hurt and are very expressive about their pain.
Yeah.
What's the difference?
I don't like that either. I mean, I don't like...
What are you, fast forward?
Like Ronin, when people get killed in Ronin, just, you know, they're running through the Colosseum and just innocent people are getting gunned down.
And that's the comparison
I don't really like
that reviewers have made to this. Yeah. It's very much like Ronin.
I wouldn't play a game where I'm a serial killer either. So, I mean, it's just... I'm not into it, so...
I'd play a game if you're a serial killer. If they made a Dexter video game that was awesome, you'd play it.
They have a Dexter video game on the iPhone, but it's just probably not awesome.
If it was awesome.
Okay. But people have actually reviewed it
really well. Rich's criteria is he'll do anything in the game as long as it's awesome.
If it's awesome.
Here's the thing. I was proud to go in there, and of course I wanted to also try and kill the terrorists and see what happened. Of course, they just kill you right off. But I was happy to go in there and just mow people down. Oh, you're trying to save your sister? Oh, kaplow! Goodbye! Bye! We'll be right back.
Arizona's News Talk Leader, KFNX, AM 1100.
And we're back. It's Chatterbox Video Game Radio, and we're talking about, yes, you guessed it, Modern Warfare 2 and the Russian terrorist scenario.
Who would have thought?
If you'd like to call us and talk about the Russian terrorist scenario in Modern Warfare 2 or other things like...
that hasn't been played out, right?
Like Mass We Pray, you can give us a call at 866-536-1100.
I want Mass We Pray. I want that.
Yeah, so, and in your off time, you can also visit the website for the University of Advancing Technology, uat.edu. You should do that and learn about the programs they have to offer. Rich, I see you holding up your hand.
Question.
Yes.
Question. So obviously, Alon and I have played this part of the game.
We actually played through it.
The Russian.
Our balls are firmly attached.
And Josh skipped that mission, but has played the rest of the game. Now, Aura, have you even played the game at all?
No.
Okay.
Watched other people play it.
I watched
video of it.
Actually, I watched our good friend, the Reverend Birch's rant about that scenario.
Okay. Which I actually haven't watched, I don't think.
Yeah. So there.
Is it a hey, ask what you're playing, or it's just him?
No. It's Rev one rant. Of his Rev rant things where he's quite eloquent and also surprisingly fast talking.
Okay.
So he was really jazzed about that. He was really hot under the collar about that one.
Yeah, and kind of wrong, too.
But he brings up an interesting point in general that I think we should talk about, which is it seems like he felt betrayed by the game because of...
That doesn't make any
this
sense.
Kind of... Of course it doesn't make sense to you, Rich, because I haven't explained what it is.
Exactly.
So... I'm just going to continue and ignore.
We should just shut my mic off now.
Okay, go ahead. Shut his mic off.
Don't shut his mic off. Keep going.
So Anthony Birch had a real problem with this scenario because as he described it, there's this really big dissonance between what the narrative wanted you to do and already – if I screw this up, apologies, but maybe I won't. What the narrative wanted you to do in the game and what the actual game in and of itself allowed you to think you could do. And basically, I mean, like we were saying, the scenario is that you have to be undercover with these terrorists, right? And so you have to play the part of a terrorist, even though you're not a terrorist, and walk through this airport while the terrorists are, you know, doing all these horrendous massacre-type activities. Now, what he wanted to do is he's like, F this. Even if somehow my commanding officer told me that we'll save more lives by not blowing our cover, I want to kill the terrorists. And there they are. They're right in front of me. I've got my gun. I've got weapons. They're right there.
I tried the very same thing.
The game ostensibly gives you everything you need to say, hey, I don't like this outcome. I'm going to kill the terrorists instead. And in fact, you know, he said that he tried to do that, and by magical powers of the game, it's actually impossible to kill them. You can't kill them all because, you know, maybe the leader has some kind of special magical Jesus armor that protects him from ever getting killed, right? And so he felt very betrayed by this because it was almost like, you know, we're going to put you through this scenario and give the appearance of you being able to do something about it. But when you try to, the game designer will say, no, F you, you have to play it the way I want you to play it.
And, yeah, it's Call of Duty. That's kind of how the game works. I mean, that's how the game's worked every single time.
So now this is interesting, right? Because in
And it previous, only bugged him here.
Well, I think I know what the difference is. Now, in previous games, right, the situation is much less emotionally charged, right? Like, you're going in some field with, you know, your officer friend who's like telling you commands and stuff, right? And so at least structurally, you could think of like, okay, well, maybe I want to take revenge on my, you know, fellow officer and shoot him instead and take his gun and maybe take credit for his kills or something, right? And of course that won't work, right? You can't really do that. Yeah. I mean, ostensibly, structurally, it seems like the identical situation. I think here it's worse because it's just so much more emotionally charged, right? You're not just, like, following some guy that's like, okay, now we're going to the lobby, you know, and, like, watch out for those snipers. You know, it's like it's a terrorist that these people are doing. And I'm just using the word terrorist repeatedly. That's good. They're doing
terrorist acts.
Yes, they're doing terrorist acts. They're terrorizing. And so they're clearly doing something that most people who are not lunatics – have a problem with and don't want to actually have accomplished.
What's interesting about his point is it seems like he doesn't understand what Call of Duty 4 and Modern Warfare 2 are. You're not playing your own character. I think what's works so well in Modern Warfare and Modern Warfare 2 is you're playing the role of a specific character that already has a script written for that character. And you're just thrust into that character's experience, and you have to go through what
that character's
meant to experience.
Right, but his point is that...
This time he doesn't like it.
The game... No, it's not that just he doesn't like it. It's that the way that the game presents itself isn't that, like, you know... You watch a movie, fine. You watch a movie of a story about someone. It's about their story. You can't control what they're doing, right? Mm-hmm. But because the actual structure of the gameplay affords you this control... It's like saying, oh, here, I'm going to give you all the appearance of you being able to do this, while through great effort, you find out that actually you can't, when all along I could have just told you that you couldn't have done anything about it.
So I think that's why
he feels misled by the game. And I think that that's an honest survey of what's going on.
I think that's part of why the game works so well, though, because in other situations, you know, you're playing this character, and I don't want to give any specific spoilers away for Modern Warfare 2 for anybody who hasn't played it, which you should have by now. But even Modern Warfare, the first game did it. It's, you're playing a character, and you're going through, and your mission is to do this thing to the soldier, and you're going to kill this person, you're going to kill that person, get to the end. And then lo and behold, look what happens. Your character gets stabbed and shot, and then you have to go through the experience of you dying, which is part of the game. So, like, I think the whole game is you being presented a situation and seemingly have the ability to do what you want in the situation, but really you don't. The whole game is this way. You don't have the ability to do whatever you want. It's not GTA. It has a specific story, and you have to go through that story.
Even to your point, I mean, I think the funny thing is that as these games are becoming more and more believable, I think in general people are gaining more and more of an expectation that they can do, quote, whatever I want. And then they feel slighted when they find out they can't. And a lot of this, like, if we can put aside all of the other issues around it, a lot of this is simply from the fact that you can only program so much in a game,
yeah.
Right? And we've reached the point where, to distill it down to an analogy, right, we can make a mansion with hundreds of doors, so it looks like there's hundreds of places where you can go, but we only have time to program the hallways down two doors.
Well, I mean, it's very simple. I don't even know what I want to say. It's simple. Like, there are games that are scripted, and there are games that are sandbox. And,
right. So we're reaching this.
It's a comparison, I think, that's simple.
So this is interesting because we're reaching, like, it's almost like I hate these ridiculous terms, but it's almost like the analogous situation to the Uncanny Valley with, you know, graphics and rendering human faces and stuff, right? Things look good enough so that you gain just enough expectation to want to do things, but you still can't anyway.
Well, what's funny to me is, so Rich and I were having what eventually becomes a very similar discussion. I've said that I don't particularly enjoy these games, and it's not because I don't think they're well made. Clearly, the Modern Warfare games are beautifully made.
They
look great. They control
they are well.
They're
I don't particularly care for them myself.
They're expertly made games. They
sure.
do what they do extremely well.
Absolutely.
And I couldn't argue that for a second. But I don't actually enjoy playing them that much. It's just that emotion doesn't come from me when I play it. And I've been wondering why is that, right? It's so good, and I've liked first-person shooters. What's the problem with it? And
It's because
it's such a narrative.
Because you're a pansy. Is that why?
That's probably not it. But not to argue the pansy point, but that's probably not the reason. So I think, though, that they create this narrative, and for some reason that takes away from my enjoyment of the game. This shooter should be – I don't know. Like, yeah. Halo does the same thing, though. Halo's like, start here, end here, proceed through this point, and kill guys.
Well, that's why I've never liked the whole half-seas approach. Right? It's like porn with plot, right? It's like, no, give me a story that I can enjoy, fine. Give me porn, and the story does not have to get into the way.
But the pizza man forgot.
No. See, that's just no. And then don't even bring food into this. Like, that's a whole other dimension. No, we're not going into that.
A third element that breaks it down. But I wonder, like, so... We run out of time right as I get the chance to speak this whole time.
Yeah, we just keep going. Just ignore
it. All right. We'll be back after the break. I'll still be here. Will you be? Right. We'll all be.
We'll just keep talking the whole time. We'll be back.
Hello, it's me, Mario. You're listening to Chatterbox Video Game Radio. It's a number one. Woo-hoo!
And we're back. If you want to go to the website, you should do that. Go to the website, chatterboxgameshow.com. or just chatterboxers.com.
You should also go to golgotron.com.
Yeah, oh, it's good thing you guys are here.
I put letters on it in words and sentences.
Yeah, and they form whole ideas sometimes.
Sometimes.
Right now, Rich is actually, he's super excited because right now N4G, one of his favorite websites, that's N like Nancy, for the number NG, like golgotron.com. N4G, news for gamers, actually. It's one of his favorite websites. It's, you know, like Dig, where stuff goes up and down based on responses from human beings or computers. And the article he wrote, Microsoft received sale boost due to banning, something along those lines. It's number 6 right now. And so if anybody's listening live, they should go to the website N4G and click on that link, which is on the front page, and then click through to the real article, which means we get a hit on Golgotron. And also you get a measurement on N4G and you go higher and higher up, which would just be fantastic. Does it then take the graphic from your article and put it on their website if you get in the top 3?
Yes.
That's how it works.
It does things.
Yes. Because if you click on the article...
It has an image to begin with.
Yeah, if you click on the article, you see the image, so it'll only make sense that image would be put on top.
Okay. Well, that's cool. He's very excited that this is happening.
I actually had to make a separate image because the resolution is different, the dimensions.
Oh, in case you hit top 3?
Well, no, all the articles show images except for... numbers 4 through 8, because that's like the
really matter. Once you get to top 3, you'll have the image ready.
But when it was like below 8,
so we are calling our listeners to arms. Since we are intimately related to Golgotron, we would love you guys
if you're listening to this later, it doesn't matter.
It's probably too late.
Just go to Golgotron and read it anyways, and then leave a comment and like yell at me.
You should leave a comment about his bad grammar, so
I know, right?
Improve it.
Amazing.
Yeah, we try not to alter Rich's text, because it's gospel, apparently. Whatever he writes...
Whenever I read it, I want to go in there and edit and put editor's note, you're a jackass, you know? Put it, you left out a comma.
As bad as it is, I think there are a lot of other sites that are even worse.
Yeah, but...
Like, where they do things that say, like, would of instead of would have, and I'm
I hate that.
Oh, it bothers me so much, but...
At least we share that.
Look, you can't let grammar get in the way of good ideas.
Oh, no.
But I use them semicolons.
But the ideas are seldom enough that the grammar is important.
And what about, can we talk about GolgoCast?
Yeah,
is
sure.
Is it okay?
What's weird is the website shows GolgoCast 10, but then you mention GolgoCast 11 further down.
We fixed it. It's been fixed.
It's been fixed, yes. So GolgoCast 11, it's kind of bad quality. But the next one, we have a special guest on.
Not the content of the show, but the audio.
The audio quality
is bad. Corey, who's from GolgoCast, who has not been on Chatterbox, kind of screwed it up a little bit. So let's blame him.
Details.
Okay. Yes. He's always ready to accept blame.
Yeah.
All right, well.
But yeah, we have a guest next week.
All right, so I want to get back to the topic we had before, but everyone, if you're listening live or not, just anyway, go there, check it out, and maybe we can make Golgotron awesome. All right, so we were talking about Anthony Birch, Rev Anthony, and how he was upset about this. Now, clearly,
but not just
though,
about him, it's just the topic.
But my point is to his, where he's upset about it in this case, where they present this world that should supposedly allow you to take a certain path when it forces you down another. And I claim this is like, and I'm sure we will all agree, it's like pretty much every other game we play out there that's not Total Sandbox. Like, it leads you a certain direction. And if you can, it's like any game where it forces you to die at some point for storyline purposes.
Right. Well, it seemed the funny thing is, right, is that as all of us who play games, we have intimate knowledge of this grammar of gaming that people who are naive to the medium don't know. And so we kind of take it for granted. But when things like this pop up, like it's like an opportunity to kind of like remind yourself that, like, yeah, for example, like, let's say in Oblivion, right? You can't kill characters that are crucial to the plot.
Indeed.
Right?
They pass out and then they come back. And actually, I
think in Oblivion, what they started doing was there's like this little like crown or there's something icon appears in front of them that's meant to signal to you, oh, this is a character that's crucial to the plot. You cannot kill this character. Now, this is kind of like a video game conveyance, right, that we've made up where in the past, you wouldn't even have that clue, right? So that little icon that pops up that says, no, you can't kill this guy because we've decided by fiat that he's crucial to the story and you can't subvert the script. That little clue is like a maturation of a grammar in games that we've been used to for a while, at least those people who play games continuously, right? So we kind of like take it for granted that, like, okay, this is the structure of the game, and the game allows me certain freedoms and certain dimensions, but I generally, because I play games, I understand where my restrictions are, right? And now something like this kind of blows the whole thing out of the water because, at least for some people, the mental images, the actual images that you're seeing on the screen now they go against what you should feel, right? You're just like, you're seeing these people die and these people getting massacred, and you're like, well, no, I want to kill the terrorists now, right? And so your emotions betray your understanding of the general grammar of the media, and I think that's why this is coming out now the way it is.
Yeah. Well, I mean, clearly this only happens because of an attempt to merge two characteristics which are in opposition to one another. You've got freedom.
Plot and pornography.
Well, there's plot, otherwise known as narrative, otherwise known as storyline, merged with freedom, which is, we'll call it interactivity, right? So interactivity merged with narrative, they don't actually work.
Right.
And so we force them work in game modes with bottlenecks.
This is funny. I'm not even going to say anything. You guys keep going.
Now, you've been playing a game lately, Dragon Age,
yeah,
which tries to allow that to work. And all it does is have a huge, huge storyline, and your choice brings you down one predetermined storyline.
Yeah.
So it simulates full freedom in what I understand is actually a relatively well-done way.
Yeah.
But it's not actually. It's the same lack of freedom that exists in any game that has a singular storyline. It just has a whole bunch.
But something like Dragon Age has a lot more freedom than something – I don't think Modern Warfare in any way, in Modern Warfare 2, it doesn't pretend to be a do-whatever-you-want free will game.
Like, oh, yeah. I'm not blaming it.
It's very specific. I don't think it is a mix between a interaction and narrative. It's very much
– I don't know how you could say
narrative.
It isn't.
Well, I mean, obviously you're playing the game.
I'm just saying it brings those two characteristics together. Right, it is a narrative. It gives you storyline,
but it's not.
Yet
it's
it
not
allows you to interact with it and make a choice.
Obviously, you have to interact with it because it's a video game.
Yeah,
but it's not.
That's
like,
why narrative in video games doesn't work, and why I never like them.
I think Modern Warfare 2 is an example of absolutely how it does work, but because you have certain things happen in the game that have to happen, and you're put into the situation without even realizing it, and then it happens, and you're like, "Holy crap, that just happened!" If that makes any sense. In my mind, it did.
Yeah, not to us. Let me ask you, Arya, how do you feel about this game? I want to make a game that is heavy on the storyline and sandboxy, and then when you try to do something against the rules, like you were describing in Oblivion,
right?
God comes down. There's actually an image of God that comes down from a cloud or whatever, but that God is designer. His name is game designer, right? He comes down. He's a picture of one of the designers of the game, and he says, "You can't do that, jackass, because that would break the game."
But I mean... Right?
It's like breaking the fourth law.
That's very avant-garde of you.
Right?
I think, yes. It's very forward-thinking.
I think it depends on the game. Like, there are obvious examples, like if you play Fallout 1 or 2, like, it doesn't have the system. If you can't kill this character because it's integral to the story. Fallout 1 and 2, like, if you kill certain characters, you never finish the game. Like, you're just, oh, too bad. You can't win. And it's never ends. But,
well,
like, in Oblivion, they do these things where you just can't kill the character. And
of course, the alternative is like in Demon's Souls, where you can kill the character. Let's say he's the guy who's, who keeps your inventory, right? So there's this one character who, you can only carry so much in the game because everything has weight. And so you have to leave all of your items that you collect in the game at some depot if you want to use them later, right? This person, you can kill this person. You can kill him. Maybe you walk up to him and accidentally your finger brushes the R2 trigger ever so gently, and your character just does a slash straight through the guy's heart. You can do this and kill him. Guess what? He doesn't come back. He doesn't come back. The game continues. You just don't have that facility for the rest of the game. Oh, guess what else? Oh, autosave immediately all the time. So you could hope and reload and pray that it puts you back to before you decided to kill
him.
Did
that happen to you at the PS2?
No, it hasn't, but I'm so – you have to – I swear you're walking on eggshells the whole time in this game, which it has – there's some good and bad to that. But you can always do that. But this whole thing – this whole discussion to me just reminds me of the reason why – I think it's dangerous not only to have, like I said, too much of a mix of narrative, this whole half-seas thing, the porn and storyline debate, and also there's a danger with having too realistic a depiction of things in games, and why I've always
too realistic
that,
or just something that opposes your natural behavior.
Well, I'll get to that. Right, I'll bridge over to that one. This is the reason why I've always preferred games that are more stylized. It's because when you see a stylized representation of something, right, like a button or something, it conveys a very, very narrow amount of information about what that object does, right? Like, I don't know, like Adventures of Lolo, right? Everything's iconic, right? If you see something in real life that looks so real, you start getting expectations about what it can do that it might have not have been programmed to do. Right? You see a door, you want to open the door, right? Maybe there's some things where if you see them in real life, you could think of all these things to do with them, but you can't.
We'll be right back, everybody.
And we're back. It's Chatterbox Video Game Radio. We've got only one segment left. If you want to call us in the next 15 minutes, it's your only chance.
You really should do it in the next five if you plan on
calling. You really should, and it's 866-536-1100.
And if you're not going to call, you can spend the time on the internets going to uat.edu, the website for the University of Advancing Technology. You know, they're also very active in the community. You know that whole WordCamp thing that I did recently?
I did hear you did a whole WordCamp thing.
Yeah, we talked about it a couple weeks ago. Last week on Friday, I hosted WordCamp here in the Valley of the Sun. And the very next day, a lot of people from WordCamp went to PodCamp, AZ. PodCamp was a little podcaster's weekend, like other conventions. But it was held at UAT, sponsored by UAT. So that was pretty cool. I stopped by there and got to see the old place again. It's getting cooler every year. So anyway, check it out because they're not a bad place to be. And I think I like how they're really involved in things. And I like how I have become more involved in the Valley. So we've been talking about Modern Warfare 2. We've been doing it for three segments now. I know you were kind of in the middle of a thought.
No, no.
Do you want to just tap out at this point?
It's tapped out.
Okay.
It's off. Now it's off.
Are you going to say something?
Go ahead.
I was going to say one kind of final thought.
Real quick, 60 seconds.
Together. Okay. So we're talking about, you know, narrative and free roaming games and sandbox and stuff like that. And
narrative versus interactivity.
Interactivity and sandboxiness and stuff like that. And I think a lot of games do fall victim to here's all the stuff you can do and then trying to force narrative in with it, and it doesn't mix a lot of times. But I think Modern Warfare 2 in no way pretends to be sandboxy. It's very specific on its goal, and it's a very specific experience. And everybody who plays the game is going to have the same experience. So I think Modern Warfare 2 is one of the games that doesn't fall victim to this interactivity versus narrative. I think it's...
Okay, soldier.
For me, I think it's very, very well done.
Unfortunately, it's still boring for me.
Okay, let's move on. Let's go actually talk about some news topics.
Some news? You mean like how Super Mario Brothers Wii just came out? The new Super Mario Brothers Wii just came out today?
Yeah, it could be. Yeah, we can talk about
that. I heard it's going to sell a billion copies.
I don't actually have much to talk about. It's just I've gotten these conflicting reports. Some people saying it's really hard, like one of the harder Mario games since old school games. And then other people like the guy on Joystick, I think it was Justin McElroy, said it's really easy. Well, of course, that might just be because they're save points.
Without having played the game, I can tell you with confidence that they're all full of crap.
All of them.
Yeah, they all.
Okay.
Everybody's wrong.
I plan on getting it and bringing it home for Thanksgiving. I'm going to go back home for Thanksgiving. Might even be able to get my mom to play with us. That would be exciting and see how she fares.
That would be really exciting.
And watch her shaking the thing around in order to levitate and whatever.
Right.
So I'm very excited to play the game, though. It's going to be a step back. It's another game I can play with people who aren't, you know, you hardcore crazies, which will be fun. Bless you, Richie.
Excuse me.
You are so good looking.
Okay, let's get moving on.
What?
I got a little quiz. Okay, you guys are falling asleep, so I got a little quiz for you guys. How many?
35.
Homes.
42. I'm sticking with 42.
I already know the answer.
All
so
wrong.
Gonna...
All wrong. What percentage of American homes do you guys think have an online game subscription? The percentage of American homes.
I already know. I read it
earlier. You mean paying a subscription?
Yes.
Like World of Warcraft?
Like World of Warcraft.
What about Xbox Live? Does that qualify? Or are we talking specific game?
I think it's a specific game.
Because even Sony is like, you can play a whole group of games on Sony.
NPD did a study. They did a survey. And the way that they're phrasing this is, what percentage of American homes have an online game subscription? However you'd like to interpret
that. I say that Xbox Live qualifies.
All right.
I mean, they might have included that.
Guess.
98%.
Just come on. 98% of American homes.
Well, listen.
This is not of homes that have internet. This is not of homes that have TVs, just homes.
I'm telling you that if it doesn't have an online game subscription, then it's not a home. It's just a house.
Okay, well, continue the stalling attempt.
Home is where the heart is.
Anybody who has
20%. 20%.
It's 14.
Okay. No, I'm
throwing 20 out.
I would go 63.
I'm just thinking about like which valid curse words I can say on the air right now, Rich.
What?
Because it's 14.
I know.
It's effing 14. All right. So 14%. So that's a lot.
I read
it. And the headline of that article is, more American homes play WoW than you probably think.
Yeah.
More
homes.
Only 14?
14. Listen, this is the percentage of homes.
I'm with you there.
So like,
and with an average of what, 4 people per home? That means there's like over 100 million homes.
I'm surprised. I think that's pretty pervasive.
The headline to the article is meaningless and has nothing to do. It's not WoW specifically.
Kind of like the one you wrote that's on N4B right now?
Absolutely. But because it's talking about just any game, not just WoW. And there really can't be.
Oh, you've moved up to number 5, by the way.
Okay. And as far as the number of people, households in America that play WoW, like, there really can't be more than you'd think, because Activision announces how many subscribers pay for WoW, so that number's pretty definitive.
Okay, so let's move on. Here's something more interesting, right? So there was I read blogs that are not video game blogs from time to time. One of the ones that I enjoy is The Consumerist.
Martha Stewart?
Not Martha Stewart, Consumerist.
Oh, Consumerist.
Mm. Consumerist is very nice because of all my cheap ways and my pro-consumer attitudes. Anyway, there's a story up on there about an Xbox Live gamer.
Woo.
Who says that he was banned online for no reason. And I find this to be very interesting, because the Xbox Live policy is basically, if we detect that your console has been hacked in any way, we will unequivocally ban you, and you have no recourse whatsoever.
His system was banned, or his gamer tag was banned? The system was banned.
Yes.
Okay.
Now, this is fascinating, because this is almost like saying, if we find you to be a terrorist, we will kill you, and you have no recourse, right? Now, obviously, nobody's getting killed, right? My point is that there is this
they
rule.
They don't adhere to the innocent until proven guilty policy?
Well, yeah, and now it's not a democracy, right? It's their business. They can run it how they want, right?
Yes.
But it's like there's an assumption that they can make no mistakes.
Well, they do advertise, and in order to adhere to their advertising and not, you know, be falsely advertising, then he needs to have access to the online components, which is something they advertise heavily. So if they are banning his system illegitimately, then I would claim that they are falsely advertising, or that they do have to be held up to a standard.
Right. Now, the funny thing is, there's no way we'll know. We don't know if this guy's lying. Like, he could be like that guy on Bait Car who's like, oh, this girl just came up to me and told me to move her car, right? I mean, come on. Like, we know people just make up stories all the time when they're caught with, you know, caught red-handed.
Of course.
So this guy could be lying, or Microsoft could have made could they have made a mistake? Like, is it possible? Can we admit this as a possibility? Could they make a mistake? Are they always right all the time?
I think they are.
It just seems
capable of making a mistake. I mean,
it seems a bit harsh to me. If they're truly infallible, then okay, fine, right? But what if they made a mistake? This seems. What if one day, right, you just get a notice like, Microsoft decided that your system's hacked. You don't have that system anymore.
Well, that's one of the troubles with buying a used system, right? You might not know. Maybe it's been hacked.
Well, there you go. And that
is a problem.
Apparently, hacked systems that have been banned are proliferating on the used game market.
Of course. What else are you going to do with them?
And like you said, I mean, it could be an instance of this person lying because they've opened their Xbox and modified it in some way or done whatever to it to hack it. Who knows if they've actually done anything to it or not.
We also don't know how they're finding it and what exactly they define.
Well, that's the thing. It's completely opaque. There's no visibility into this whatsoever. We don't know anything.
Is this – I haven't read this article. Has this person contacted Microsoft and said, hey, you banned my system and I don't know why?
Yeah.
And they
said,
too bad, go away?
So let's go into a little bit more detail, right? He's actually – he claims to have spent over $5,200 in Xbox products, which include 68 games, several hundred dollars of live content.
What?
68 games.
That reminds me of something I wanted to talk about.
Okay, in a minute. He's actually purchased two consoles, blah, 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 all this stuff. Basically, he's dealt with the quote support team repeatedly, and they've always refused to give him any other information other than simply asserting that their investigations are thorough. And some customer service representative at some point called Charles told him that it was his problem and he should learn to follow the rules, and then he got hung up on.
Nice.
So very, very pleasant.
And well, it's an interesting conundrum, but I would say that they should have a system in place that allows them to prove it. So, like, say, you send us the system,
yeah,
and we'll see.
That would be nice. Here's another good line, right? At another point, he talked to another rep who said, quote, but this is what you get back for tampering the console, end quote.
Yes, well, that's what happens when you outsource. So, I wanted to point this out. For those who don't know, Phoenix Metro, Scottsdale in particular, is the home of the very first Microsoft store. As you know, Microsoft makes the 360. If you go to that store, you know what you can buy? You can buy a 360. You know what else you can buy? Lots of accessories for it. You know what you can't buy there? Any guesses? Anybody?
HDMI cable.
Anybody? No, I'm sure you could do that,
sure.
Although I didn't look.
Xbox
Memory
Live.
Cards for the Xbox 360. You can buy hard drives. By the way, way overpriced hard drives.
Yeah. And way overpriced memory units.
No, you can't buy memory units.
I'm just saying if they had them, they'd be way overpriced.
But they would be, but not even an option. So what does that tell us about the memory?
They're getting rid of them.
Phasing them out. I totally like them. I want them. I want to be able to take my small casual games to friends' houses.
Everyone's phasing them out.
Just bring your hard drive over.
No. Anyway, we'll be back next week, everybody. Bye.
Good night, guys.
You've been listening to Chatterbox Video Game Radio. Tune in next week for more tips and info and the latest and greatest in video gaming. And remember, all your base are belong to us.